Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes. We want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes this evening, press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Hughes and his special guest this evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Hughes.
Great. Thanks, Hugh, and thanks to everyone who's made the decision to participate on tonight's call. Of course, some of our best feedback and best ideas I get through this process with these telephone town halls and my meetings with my constituents. We're holding this telephone town hall with two special guests this evening. Shira Goodman, the executive director of Ceasefire PA, and a few minutes after we hear from Shira, we'll be talking to Jerry Roseman, who is the science advisor for and environmental advisor for our Healthy Schools Coalition, which is an organization put in place to assist us with dealing with our toxic school problem, which is far and away a huge issue that we have in the city of Philadelphia and, quite frankly, across the state of Pennsylvania with respect to toxic schools. And Shira, as I said, is executive director of Ceasefire PA, which is the leading organization in Pennsylvania to help us get good legislation and good policies in place around addressing the issue of the toxic reality of guns in our community. And so we really do welcome those two guests, Shira and Jerry. This format will allow you to listen to us, offer your opinion, and ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, as you indicated, press star 3 on your phone. Remember, if you want to ask a question at any time, press star 3, and we'll be on this call probably to about between 7:20, 7:30.
Yep.
All right, Hugh?
Yep.
So that's about the length of the conversation. So remember, if you want to have ask a question, press star 3, and we'll get that going. This is a quick update for the Senate in Pennsylvania. We've returned back to a session started yesterday, and we'll be dealing with legislative matters this week and a couple more weeks in October and try to get some good stuff done before the year is over, because we'll also be in session in November and a few days, I believe, also in December. We did the state budget, which ended on June 28th of last year. As folks will remember, our process is involved in both the legislative side with policy, public policy, and also with the budget side in determining how the state of Pennsylvania's $34 billion, give or take, about $34 billion is spent in various areas across Pennsylvania and in various issue areas also across Pennsylvania, from health care to education to housing to a whole number of areas, environmental protection, things of that nature. That's what the state spending program is. And, of course, everything legislatively that can happen in Pennsylvania comes into our purview, from trying to create the best gun laws, trying to create the best education laws, trying to create the best job performance programs in Pennsylvania to get people working and get them working at a level that pays a salary that can sustain them, and also hopefully get the right health insurance to go along with it, and, of course, the right retirement programs to go along with that as well. We do a little bit of everything in Pennsylvania, as is the case with most states, and we want to make sure that this process that we're involved in creating legislation is reflective of the needs of the constituents, of the needs of the people in the 7th Senatorial District and all across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Two major issues that are in front of us, as I said, are the issue of toxic schools. And most pressing in front of us right now is the issue of creating a stronger and common sense gun laws in Pennsylvania. I'll deal with the last issue first, and we'll bring in Shira Goodman, on the call right now, who is one of our special guests. And Cher, welcome to the 7th Senatorial District Telephone Town Hall, where we're talking to constituents throughout the 7th Senatorial District, which includes all of West Philadelphia, north of Market Street, portions of North Philadelphia, East Falls, Maniac, Roxborough, and we also go into Conshohocken, we go into White Marsh, and we go into Upper Dublin. Really a great district, really a great community. And Shira, I think you might even be a constituent of mine.
I am a constituent.
That's a good thing. So, Shira, can you give myself and most importantly the callers on the line a brief update of where we are in Pennsylvania with respect to common sense gun laws and, of course, the hearings that occurred in the Senate of Pennsylvania as a result of some public pressure to get those hearings happening in Pennsylvania? Go ahead, Shira.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me and for having this discussion. You've always been such a great partner in our work to bring better gun laws to Pennsylvania. We don't have such good gun laws here, as you know. We've been fighting for stronger gun laws for a long time. We lose 1,600 people a year in Pennsylvania to a combination of homicide, suicide, and unintentional shooting, and that's been going up. And it's pretty easy to get a gun in Pennsylvania. We have a very robust right. It's pretty easy to get a license to carry concealed. And we've been working at Ceasefire PA and with partners like you, Senator, on ways to talk about how can we keep guns out of the hands who shouldn't have them? How can we keep legal guns from becoming illegal guns that turn up in crime scenes? And today and tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee, the committee that handles gun issues, is taking testimony about all sorts of gun laws and what we can do about it. And they're focusing a lot on mental health and behavioral health, as well as the Second Amendment and gun laws. And today they heard from psychologists and psychiatrists, from some judges, from the state police, from some people who are very pro-gun rights, and from some others who think that we need to have stronger laws. I'll be testifying tomorrow on a second day when there's a lot of advocates testifying, some lawyers, and some researchers to talk about the efficacy of gun laws. But we're really hoping that this will do what Senator Baker said when she announced these hearings, which is be a prelude to action. We need votes. We need your colleagues to take votes on measures like expanding background checks, extreme risk protection orders, and giving cities like Philadelphia the tools they need to deal with their gun violence problem.
Thanks, Shira. And Shira is the, as I said before, Shira is the executive director of Ceasefire PA, which is a statewide organization, probably the leading organization in Pennsylvania that's addressing the policy issues around common sense gun laws. Shira is there. We want to make sure that folks have an opportunity to connect with your organization so they can get involved in the fight. Make sure you give out the website and any other important contact information, and, of course, any social media so that people can get connected to your organization. What would that information be, Shira?
Well, we're at ceasefirepa.org on the web, at ceasefirepa on Twitter and Facebook, and we have a texting program. So if you text the word ceasefire to 97779, you'll be signed up for our texting program. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening in Harrisburg and D.C., let you know when you need to call Senator Hughes or your representative here or in Washington and ask them to take action. And we will probably be doing some calls to action after the hearings tomorrow. And I'd also like to tell you about something that happened today in the House, if that's okay, Senator.
Please do. That's important.
So the House Judiciary Committee just last week announced it was having a voting meeting today. No testimony, just the members voting on some gun bills. And they're not the bills that we were excited about, that we've been working on for years. They are bills to impose more mandatory minimum sentences on people caught with guns. They are bills to allow groups like the NRA to sue cities like Philadelphia who take steps to protect their citizens. There are bills to make it easier for civilians to have tasers. And a lot of these bills passed out of committee. And at the end of the meeting, Chairman Rob Kaufman was asked, when are you going to have another meeting about background checks and extreme risk protection orders and safe storage? And he said, I'm not having another meeting on guns this year. And I will never bring up extreme risk protection order bills as long as I'm chairman. Now, the bills, that bill in particular, is very surprising because they are sponsored by his Republican colleagues in both the House and Senate. They have bipartisan support, and 17 states and the District of Columbia have enacted them recently and have realized and seen that their suicide rates are going down and that these laws probably also prevent mass shootings. So we're really frustrated, and we're going to be asking people to call Chairman Kaufman to express their concern that he would, out of hand, with almost a year and a half left his session, say, we're not doing any more on this.
So he said, so this is in the House, not on the Senate. This
Correct.
Is in the House. The Republican chairman, and I say that for informational purposes only, not for, you know, who to vote for, but the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary Committee
Yes.
said that he will not have any more hearings on the issue or votes on the issue for the next year and a half?
He said he's done with the gun issue for this session. And he will never, as long as he's chairman, bring up extreme risk protection orders, which is a bill that would allow family members and law enforcement to temporarily take guns away from somebody who's in crisis. You have to go to court to do it. There's a lot of due process built in. It's sponsored, the prime sponsor in both the House and Senate are Republicans, and one of the prime sponsor in the House is actually a Republican member of the Judiciary Committee, but the chairman, when asked by the press, said he's never going to bring up that bill. And so, you know, look, I think one of the reasons I vote for my Senate senator and representative is to send you to Harrisburg to solve tough problems. Gun violence is not only a tough problem, it's a crisis. And to say we're not going to talk about it for a year and a half, you know, we're pretty angry.
Wow. We should be angry. And for informational purposes, one of the reasons why we have a logjam on common sense gun laws in Pennsylvania is – really the control of the legislature as it currently exists and as it has been the case for probably almost well over 20 years, if not longer, where the Republicans control the legislature, have the majorities in both the House and the Senate, and so therefore they make the determination of what bills are going to be cast and what bills are going to be voted on. And they have the overwhelming majorities in both in all of the committee in the committees. This is again not a political call, but the one way to address that is to change who's in charge. And I think that's we had a good governor who wants these issues moved, who wants to get these issues addressed, but we've got to change the makeup of the legislature to make sure that we can move legislation out to get some things done here.
Chairwoman Baker is a Republican, the chair of the Senate. She is having these 2 days of hearings. If people want to tune in tomorrow or even come to Harrisburg, we're going to have a press conference, Ceasefire PA, before the 1 o'clock start of the hearings at 12 noon, and you can check it out on our website. But, you know, we're hopeful that we'll be able to do something in the Senate and move bills that you can vote on, Senator.
That would be great. Folks can also watch the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings tomorrow, which will be on guns. You can go to my website, senatorhughes.com, and there'll be a link there for you to be able to stream those hearings and watch them from whatever device that you utilize to watch those. We've introduced universal background check legislation, Senate Bill 88. We've introduced Senate Bill 198, which is expanding the list of crimes from owning a firearm. If you're convicted of various crimes, you don't have to you should not be able to own a firearm. We're supportive of all of the common sense gun laws that Shearer's organization, Ceasefire, has put out there. It really is being held up by the Republican majority in the Senate of Pennsylvania. Hugh, should we take some calls
before we
get to Jerry?
I think we're ready to take some calls, but before we do, for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or his special guest this evening, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad again. If you have a question for Senator Hughes, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, our first caller tonight is going to be Robert from Overbrook. Robert, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Robert?
How you
doing,
Senator?
Man?
Yeah, I met you a couple of times.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions for you, and for Shira. You know, that was some good information you just gave us, but you told us that because the reason why we can't get these laws passed is because they overwhelmingly have control over the House or whatever. But my question to you is, you know, because we've been talking about gun control, and we've been talking about the Philadelphia School District for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And in my lifetime, it seems like nothing seems to get done about either. And we keep voting and sending people to Harrisburg, but the ineffectiveness seems to be a problem. What is the and why can't you say you didn't want to make it political, but it is political. These people that are blocking these laws, we need to know who they are, and you guys need to be able to tell us who they are, and not be afraid to tell us who they are, so we can take action against these people that are holding us hostage, holding the city hostage, you know, holding my life hostage.
Yeah, yeah, Len, and generations, man. Let me start with me. All right, it's not that I'm afraid to tell you. We pretty vocal on, you know, where the blocks are. We got to make sure, especially when we're doing calls like this, that the calls are not overly political, all right, in the sense that vote for this one or vote for that one. Now, I'm not going to tell folks on this call who to vote for and who not to vote for. I will remind folks that the Republicans control the House, the Republicans control the Senate. They therefore control what votes, what bills get voted on and what do not get voted on. So, there's where the problem lies. If we could get control of each chamber, we can probably move some common sense gun laws in Pennsylvania. That's the issue of the fear. If this call was being paid for by political dollars, I'd be, you know, the tone would be a little bit different, if you understand what I'm saying, Robert. All right.
Yeah, but also, Senator Hughes, real quick, that really doesn't help the people that are being murdered in the streets of Philadelphia, or doesn't help the ineffectiveness of the education system in the city either. That we continually just sort of try to wring our hands and act like there's nothing we can do about this.
Well,
and we keep voting. Yeah, listen, we keep voting for people. I keep voting for people like you and other people and sending them to Harrisburg. And I don't see my needs are not being addressed. My concerns are not being addressed. So why am I voting for you? Why am I voting for people that don't seem to be able to get this stuff, anything done, except have town hall meetings to continue to talk about it and continue to talk about the other side? And continue to say it's nothing, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, but it's not effective. We need to do something that's effective.
Well, let me just say this. There's a lot of issues that are going on that we're addressing and have made some relatively significant movement on. We're not talking about housing this evening, but if you monitored our activity this past summer, we announced probably almost $100 million of housing projects all across the district, and even more that have gotten done that we just didn't have the opportunity to schedule that stuff to get announced publicly. So I just use that as an example. We increased the spending for domestic violence and domestic violence prevention by 10%, one of the largest increases in the history of the spending in that program, to help folks deal with the issue of domestic violence, which is a very real and very significant issue. So this call tonight is focused on two hard issues. When we get to toxic schools, we'll talk about the new money that's coming as a result of our activity on toxic schools, but we have to talk about the remaining work that needs to be done. So what I think we need to be focused on, Robert, is, yes, these are very difficult issues, but we need to continue to fight on these issues, and we need to continue to educate folks about where the problems are so that we can get solutions on some very difficult issues. But there are some other issues that we've made some progress on. we'll continue to fight on, and that there's been some real action on. But I picked two issues tonight because they're current. We can update folks on where things are, and so that folks can connect it, especially in the gun conversation, to organizations like Shearer's organization, Cease Fire, so that folks know that they can take their anger and turn it into more action. So, again, ceasefirepa.org is an organization that folks can get connected to. They can monitor the hearings tomorrow. They can get more vocal about these particular issues. And then hopefully we can get change. We got to keep fighting. People need to know what organizations they can connect it to join that fight and try to make some progress. Thanks, Robert.
Robert, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or his special guest tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Gwen. Gwen, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Environment that could cause them to spin. That's why we've seen tornado warnings already in Iowa.
Gwen, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Gwen, you're up. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Great. I know they're trying to initiate background checks for the guns, and I was suggesting background checks for bullet purchases also.
Well, I think that's a great idea. We support that. Ammunition is virtually unregulated in Pennsylvania. There's a new law that's being introduced at the federal level as well. It's called Jamie's Law, in honor of Jamie Guttenberg, who was killed in Parkland. Her father, Fred, has been working on that. But we would love to see something like that in Pennsylvania. And, again, it's hard to push through right now, but I'm sure the senator and some of his colleagues would be very interested in working on that.
All right. Well, at least we can get something initiated, you know, bring it out and see what happens.
Thank you.
You're
Gwen,
well.
Thanks for the call. Don't hang up yet, Gwen. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
How far along down the path has this stuff, the idea of looking at regulating bullets and ammunition, what kind of success or movement has that has occurred on that issue in other states?
Some states, you know, do it. You know, states like California and New Jersey have much stronger gun laws than we do. I think that State Representative Sims had introduced a version of this a couple years ago, last session maybe. And I think Representative Lewis, so there was a bipartisan interest in it. But I haven't seen a version of that in our Senate, and the new bill in Congress is just beginning to get sponsors, and they haven't voted on that yet. But like I said, you can pretty much, even though you have to get a background check at a federally licensed dealer, you don't have to get a background check for ammunition. You can buy as much as you want. You can buy it online. It's much less regulated.
Right. That's not right.
All right, Gwen. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate
Senator.
Your Appreciate your call.
Gwen, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to our callers. But again, before we do, if you have a question for Senator Hughes, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad, and we'll get you talking with Senator Hughes and a special guest. We're going to go to Connie in West Philly. Connie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Connie.
Hi. My question, when it talks about I want to be a responsible gun owner situation. But I hear them talk about people who have guns and the mental health issue. What's the criteria that you would feel that should be looked at to make a person, what deems a person not qualified on what level of mental health? I'm not sure, because everyone to me that's using guns to me isn't a mental health issue. Some people, I think it's some other issues flowing. So, but what deems a person not being qualifying from a mental health standpoint are you looking at? I'm not sure what you're going by. Do you know?
Do you want me to explain that, Senator?
Yeah, sure. See what you got.
So under current federal and state law, it's actually a really high bar to be blocked from buying a gun because of something in your mental health history. You have to have been involuntarily committed to a mental institution for more than 72 hours, or declared incompetent by a judge. That's a very high bar. A lot of people won't reach it. It's not about a diagnosis or if you're on medication or if you're in counseling. Were you involuntarily committed or were you adjudicated incompetent? So what about the, you know, you're the kid who comes home from college, maybe failed a class, maybe had a romantic relationship go south, and you're worried. Your son seems to be acting different. He's talking about not having much to live for. Maybe you want to temporarily make sure he can't buy a gun, because like I said, it's pretty easy in Pennsylvania to buy a gun. Mm-hmm. We're trying to put a law in that would allow you to go to court to talk about that behavior, to talk about the things he's saying, to talk about those actual warning signs.
Right.
And temporarily block him from buying a gun just for, you know, for between 3 months and a year until he can kind of either get help that he needs, whether that's some kind of counseling, whether it's alcohol and drug counseling, whether it's just time,
mm-hmm.
time away. And we think that will help kind of break and disconnect this link that we sometimes have between mental illness and violence, because we know that actually people living with mental illness are not any more likely to be perpetrators of violence. In fact, they're much more likely to be victims of violence, and we need to kind of break that stigma where we blame the mentally ill for violence, because really the better predictor of violence is not mental illness, it's violence. It's substance abuse. It's things
right.
like that.
Right.
And so we need to be looking at warning signs in people we love, training teachers, training doctors, making sure there's more counselors out there so that if there is somebody who's struggling or in crisis, we can get them help they need before it becomes an urgent situation.
That was putting so well.
Thank you.
That was good. That was really good. But
thanks.
So if a person's been involuntarily committed, because someone asked you something and I'm like, I heard you were talking about it. Is they're involuntarily committed by a judge, is that a temporary thing they can't have a gun for so many years, or is that a permanent situation?
Under Pennsylvania law, it is lifetime. There are a few ways that they can
okay.
go about getting a restoration of rights, but it's difficult
right.
and it can be costly, and it's a long process. That's one of the other reasons
okay,
that we like
good.
This idea of a temporary process with a temporary solution.
Mm-hmm.
That people can then get their gun rights back much easier.
I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and the person was involuntarily, I'm just going to say this out loud, committed, but they feel that they can now, it's only like they only had to go through not being in trouble for 2 years and now they can have a gun. So I wasn't sure if that was true or not. I just kind of wanted to know, just putting it out
well,
there.
Well, if they had a protection from abuse order, it depends if they were involuntarily committed or if they had a protection from abuse order. Those things mm-hmm. might have different timelines on them, but typically in Pennsylvania, if there's an involuntary commitment,
like 302,
yeah, then that should be a lifetime ban.
Like you 302 somebody for...
Yeah, 302 does result in a lifetime ban currently.
Okay. Can I say one more thing as far as... I taught school for 30 years in the school system, and I just found that it's really important to... A lot of stuff stems from home. Violence isn't like people just, I don't know, this is the Bad Seed movie or something, but people are just born violent. I think environmental things play a part, how we are around our children. And I think things start at home. We have to work. We can't blame teachers and society for everything, the Republicans. Some things start at home, where you have to work with your children and work with yourself so you're setting examples for your children, monitoring what they do. Try to be proactive in your children's lives, because I see a lot of kids that are just raising themselves and they're on the phone, internet, all kinds of things, and they're picking up bad habits. And they're being influenced by the media and different things like that. I think it's important that we try to help. I spend a lot of time helping parents so they can help their kids. But I think it's important that I don't let anybody take my peace away, but I just think, and I don't have any children actually, but I think it's important that we work together. Sometimes it's helping your next door neighbor. I've had a person where I live that was upset with a gun and was stressed out, and I talked them down and put positive affirmations out there. Because some people don't get enough love in their life. There's a lot of things that can make a person go to the dark side. They could be Christians, non-Christians, people with PhDs. It doesn't. You know, it's just sometimes there's things we could do right in our community to help, just like what Vincent Hughes does, Senator, you know, helps the community. He helps people, and it's not just about talking on the phone. I like being able to do this, but it also inspires me to reach out to my next-door neighbor that has a need or encourage, say something kind, and keep people try to spread some love along the way. We can't walk around hating people. It's a lot of hate out here. I've seen so much hate from the Trump situation that I've ever seen in my whole life. I've never seen anything like it. You don't have to like what someone does, but you shouldn't hate anybody.
Well, Connie, I
know I'm talking too much. I'm going to stop.
No. It's all good, and we're going to get to some more callers.
Right.
But, you know, the environment that's been created since November of 2016, the environment that's been created now has really, in many respects, brought out the worst in a lot of people, and has permitted a lot of behaviors that would normally not have been permitted, that would not have been acceptable. Now people are just going off and doing all kinds of things. And so our better angels have got to come out to respond to that. I think that's what that in many respects means when you talked about we got to love, you know, provide more love and more caring and more support for one another. Mm-hmm. And that really relies on our best angels to kind of permeate all of our activities. And we can be better. We can do a better job of exampling that to our friends, to our family members, and especially to our children, so they can learn that. The problem that we all have, obviously, is when you have such a deep economic situation where people are really struggling, trying to make it through, and there's all kinds of pressures that are put on them. A lot of us struggle to do our best when there's pressure on us. You know that. And I don't think the broader society really catches or really understands the amount of pressure, the amount of trauma that exists in communities, especially from the kind of economic pressure that is on. And so we get caught up in believing that life is supposed to be just full of pressure, right? Life is supposed to be just a struggle. And I'm a believer that it's not, and I'm a believer in trying to create policies and put programs in place to try to allow people to be their best selves, whether it be academically, economically, spiritually, whatever. We've got to free that up and create the environment so that people can, in fact, be their best selves. And all I know is this. Our best self is realized when we're helping someone else. It's not necessarily when we do for ourselves, when we're helping someone else out. So
I feel the same way.
I'll get off of that soapbox, okay? And
can I say one quick thing with the cut laws? Something when I'm applying. So one of the things that they said that is that you want to take a class so that you know when it's okay to use your gun. Because you can't just go around shooting people, or so that you make sure you know how to responsibly, the rules and responsibilities of having and using gun properly. That might be something to be considered if someone's applying, that they'd have to take a class maybe.
So I think that's a great idea. You don't even have to, you know, in Pennsylvania, you don't have to apply for a license to buy a gun. We don't have licensing. You can go right into the store, and if you pass your background check, you can walk out of it, and you can buy a training class, which I would highly recommend. We would love to make it mandatory, classes tax deductible, subsidize them somehow, so you learn how to safely use your gun. But, you know, when we talk to the NRA and the gun lobby about it, they don't like to require training. You know, they think training is good. They do training, but they don't want to require it.
Yeah. But thank you for letting me share.
All right, Connie. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, Connie.
Thank you.
Keep staying involved. We're going to...
Connie, thank you very much for your call again. For those that have a question for Senator Hughes, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, before we go on to Jerry, let's take one more call.
Okay.
We'll go to Dorothy. Dorothy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hey, Dorothy, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a senior, and I live in West Philly, and, I mean, every day here in Philadelphia, you hear about crime, killing young people. I mean, these are young people that are not old enough to even vote yet. So where do they get all these guns from? Where are the guns coming from for them to have a gun? 14, 15, 16-year-old children got guns.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start it off and then share it, and you'll finish up, if you will. You know, guns are the only people who do well with the proliferation of guns are the gun manufacturers, right? Though, because someone is always buying, and they're creating, and they're making guns, and someone is always buying those guns. And they do extremely, extremely well in the process. I find it, like most products, you flood the market, create the demand, make it easy accessible, and, you know, next thing you know, that product is all over the place. And what I've heard is that, you know, on the street sale of guns, that it has now become more profitable to transact firearms on the underground market, I'll say it that way, than some forms of drugs. So you have an economic issue, and, you know, you may have a safety and security issue where young people think that they're safer and more secure if they have a weapon. What we know is that the statistics, the information shows that that's just not correct. The greater proliferation of firearms, the less safe, the less secure communities are. Shira, I'll turn it over to you. Maybe you can provide a little bit more to Dorothy on this call.
Yeah, and that's all that is absolutely right. You know, and those guns that people who aren't supposed to have guns, who aren't old enough to have guns, who aren't allowed to have guns, they're getting them. They're either stealing them. They're getting them from people who lost their guns. They're getting them because people who use their clean record to buy guns for people who aren't allowed to have them. And that's how guns kind of flood into our neighborhood. And our Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, has started this track and trace program to make sure we're tracing all of our crime guns in Pennsylvania, so we can figure out how are the guns moving. Are the guns in your neighborhood coming from your neighborhood, or are they coming from my neighborhood? Are they coming from across the state? Where are those guns coming from? Where were they last legally purchased? When were they last legally purchased? And when we know that, we can talk about better enforcement and better policies to stop the trafficking. But the senator's right. The only way, you know, these guns were legal at one point. So the gun manufacturers and gun dealers who don't put video cameras up in their stores or aren't worried about who's really coming in, that's part of the problem. And we have to create better economic opportunities for our kids so that picking up a gun is not the better economic choice. It's not the better safety choice.
Thanks, Shira, and thanks, Dorothy. Appreciate your call, Dorothy. Keep staying on point. Keep staying vigilant. Thanks, Shira.
Senator,
thank you.
Maybe we can bring Jerry into the
discussion. Yeah, let's if we could. Our second guest is Jerry Roseman. Jerry is the Science and Environmental Advisor for the Healthy Schools Coalition. As you know, we've been spending some hard and good time on the issue of trying to create more funds to address a very serious issue of toxic schools in our community, not just in Philadelphia, but across the state of Pennsylvania. Earlier this year, we stood with Governor Wolf at the Heston School in West Philadelphia, right around 54th, 55th, and Lancaster, in that neighborhood over there, and announced another $4 million to fix up toxic schools across the city of Philadelphia, and that was during the summer. The work was being done during the summer to fix up the Heston School, and it looks like there's some good work that's been done over there. So, Jerry, I want to thank you for participating in the call. Why don't you give, if you will, a quick update to the callers about what's going on in our fight to deal with the issue of toxic schools?
Okay. First, thanks so much for inviting me on, and it was something to listen to Shira and the talk about gun violence, and you know, in some ways, the toxic schools issue overlaps with it. It's another place that puts our kids and our neighborhoods and communities at risk, and the work that I've been doing involves two elements that are complementary. One, an inside kind of approach, and that is working as the Director of Environmental Science with the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, their union and health and welfare fund, to work on best practices and evaluation of the schools, to be in the schools every day to look at these problems and to try to get the school district to do something much better, and to be the environmental science advisor to the Philly Healthy Schools Initiative and Coalition, which is comprised of about 70 parent advocacy, community, neighborhood, environmental groups that is pushing from the outside. And the kinds of things that have happened over these last couple years includes legislation being passed on lead protection in water, lead protection in paint. We've worked with you very closely and your colleagues, and have were able to get about $15 million in additional funding in two bunches to deal with lead paint issues in the schools. We have put together a coalition called Fund Our Facilities Coalition that's advocating and pushing for $170 million in funding over the next very short period just to help stabilize some of the worst conditions in our schools, $100 million for asbestos and lead. We've ramped up our efforts to involve the public in a very direct way, something we think is essential, by developing a mobile application called the PFT Healthy Schools Tracker that can be used by anybody, people in schools, parents, anybody, to report problems and to provide a real voice for people about the schools. We're regularly meeting with the school district facilities side officials and leaders and representatives about ways to fix our schools in a much better and more efficient way, and we have proposed best practices for asbestos, lead, mold, and more. We've provided testimony to the Board of Education, and we walk through buildings with people to show them what's going on and attend parent meetings.
That's all very good stuff, Jerry, empowering citizens to be engaged and active, especially parents and children, to be engaged and active with respect to the physical quality of the schools that our children attend. You know, I represent a district, as I think most folks know on this call, that represents this crisis that exists with respect to our education. I represent portions of Montgomery County, and I represent the city of Philadelphia. And we see the 21st century schools that are being provided for the children in Monco, in Montgomery County, and we also see the struggle that exists to get to quality, safe, and healthy environments for our children here in the city of Philadelphia to exist in, to learn in, and of course the teachers to teach in. Because it is about the students first and foremost, but it is also about those folks that are there to instruct and teach and empower those students, those teachers, and they're obligated to work in environments that just are not safe and just are not secure and are not healthy. At least far too many of them are not healthy. What are you advocating for, Jerry, in terms of how folks can get connected to the Healthy Schools Coalition, and how people can join the fight?
Well, you know, we're always looking for volunteers because, I mean, we need more capacity and more bandwidth, and we need people to join their voices together in order to make sure that everybody understands that this is enough. The conditions in our schools with asbestos, lead, mold, temperature problems, rodent infestations, we need to change this. We need a new plan. And that new plan, I think, involves the voices of people. So they can download and use the mobile app and talk about the schools. They can visit the Philadelphia Healthy Schools Initiative website, phsi.org, and volunteer. Penn Environment one of the largest environmental organizations in the country and the largest in the state, is a major player in the Philly Healthy Schools Initiative, as is the PFT. People could contact Penn Environment. And they could even go onto the PFT's website, the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, at pft.org and read a lot about what's going on. So those are all easy ways to volunteer. Of course, coming to school board meetings is important. And you know, there is a lot of work to do, and there's a lot going on right now. There is a reason for optimism, but really sustained action is required.
Jerry, just finally, before we open the phones, and I want to get to Monica in a second, because she's got a very direct and pointed question that she needs to ask. The Philadelphia Healthy Schools Initiative is a good way to get folks involved. The PFT is a good way to get folks involved. Penn Environment is a way to get folks involved. These have a broad reach to a number of different sectors, but this is also a statewide and a national problem, correct?
Absolutely. It's not a Philadelphia-only problem by any stretch. And actually, before you get to your callers, maybe the point to pick up on is both to credit the work that you've done and others, and to think for a moment about what the value is of Philadelphia, of Lower Merion, of a number of situations. As we work in Philadelphia in sort of a crucible of problems, we are coming up with solutions that can help schools across the state and even in places like Lower Merion. As school districts in other parts of the state that may have more resources come up with ideas and programs that work, they too can be used as models for what we do. So not only are the voices of people here in Philadelphia important in Philadelphia, but across the state, as everybody is doing this kind of important work, what's really being created are models that can be exported, models of success to be exported, and we should be doing that. We don't do enough of that. We're not learning from each other enough, and this gives us an opportunity to do that.
Jerry, it's my understanding that Congressman Bobby Scott in Washington, D.C., out of Virginia, has a national bill to provide. I was told the number was $100 billion nationally to help local communities fix up their schools. Can you comment on that at all?
Well, I think that's a great point. This, again, shows this is not an urban issue only. It's not a Philadelphia issue only. And so, yeah, Bobby Scott proposed maybe 2 years ago a Build America Schools Act and a Rebuild America Schools Act, needing $100 billion that got an enormous amount of support, both legislative and from groups across the country. I've been lucky enough to participate in that over these couple years. And it's something that, although a heavy lift to get that kind of money from the federal government, is recognized as a real need. We need money. We need more people. We need more ideas. We need more involvement. But at a national level, there's that kind of work going on. At the state level in Pennsylvania, a lot because of the work that you're doing, there's efforts going on in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, and around the state. There are efforts to raise money and to have people more involved.
Great. Jerry, thank you very much. Stick on the line. We're going to take a few calls before we finish up here. Let's go to Monica. Monica's got a call, Hugh.
Monica, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Good evening, Senator Hughes.
Hey, Monica.
And good evening, Jerry. I just had a question. I am a product of all of Philadelphia, West Philadelphia public schools, and I know when I went to school back in the day, I'm not going to say how long, but back in the day, I used to love, my thing was I loved going to school. Our school, I just thought our school was just great. And, you know,
going to see, I have nieces and nephews that are still in school, going to public school. And I recently went into my alma mater, which is Overbrook High School.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in there, I was taken back. I know it's been umpteen years since I've been in there, but it was just a disgrace the way it looked. It was just so dingy and dull. And I'm saying, like, all of them, when I go to school board, you go inside this brand new spanking state-of-the-art building, and you go to some of these schools and look what the kids have to come into every day. And you wonder sometimes why the kids act out or whatever. You go to some of the other schools where either a charter school or a school out in the suburbs where it's nice and bright, got computers, got this, got that. And then you go to the public school, and it looks like some of them look like jailhouses. And I'm being serious and honest. I just want something done for our kids. I don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews that have to go to school. I just want to know what, if anything, can be done. I know asbestos has been going on since I was in school, so that definitely needs to be cleaned up. And from what I understand, they're doing the work, but they need to do more because these children deserve so much more. You know,
let me just say this, Monica, and I'm gonna let Jerry respond. You know, raising hell works. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's two things. We don't raise enough hell,
right?
And I think we've gotten to a situation where people become more complacent, and they think that the conditions are acceptable.
Right.
And as you mentioned, a lot of folks have not had the opportunity to see what a 21st century school is supposed to look like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I represent the suburbs. I was at a groundbreaking of the Sandy Run Middle School in Upper Dublin about 2 weeks ago. And it was the day after the announcement was made about the teacher who was suffering from mesothelioma, which is a byproduct of asbestos, all right?
Right.
In the Philadelphia public schools. Folks need to see what a 21st century school looks like. And they need to understand that they should have the same thing. The state law requires them to have pretty much the same thing, no matter what district that they're in. And so I'm real big on making sure people see what's out there, and let's raise some hell. When we raised hell about the Cassidy School, all right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank God for little Chelsea Mungu. Thank God for Chelsea. We raised hell about the Cassidy School. There's going to be a brand new Cassidy School that's going to be built. I'm supposed to be meeting with the school district next week to get the exact timing on when that school is going to be built. And the Overbrook High School is a doggone shame. Given the quality of people who have come out of Overbrook and that storied history and that great reputation, like yourself, okay? All right, Monica? All right.
Yes.
Back in the day. But you know, what, the fourth, fifth, and sixth floors at Overbrook High School are mothballs now, all right?
Oh, my God.
And it will cost $160 million to build a brand new Overbrook, to fix Overbrook High School. That much money. So, Jerry, jump in here and see if you can help Monica and any of the other callers.
I hope I can, because I'm on the same page, but I think we can fix these schools. And I grew up in Philadelphia. I won't tell you my exact age, but I graduated from high school in 1971. I've lived in Philadelphia my whole life, in North Philadelphia, most of my life in Mount Airy, and now in South Philadelphia. And one of the things that I see are some of the greatest schools in our city right now that people consider the greatest schools, and the greatest schools around the country. The schools, forget even public schools, private schools around the country are schools, buildings that are 200 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We have in our city Masterman and Central, and those are schools that people love and we know are great. These schools, including Overbrook High School, are inspiring, amazing buildings. it is shame on us for letting those buildings deteriorate like this. And they didn't need to, and many of them still don't need to. There's a lot we can do. And so do we need more money? Absolutely. And we need more, I mean, I think the senator said it right, hell raising, because at the right time and in the right way, we can fix these schools up. We're doing that now. And, you know, the conversation about brand new modern schools, really important too. But all over the city, right now at Benjamin Franklin High School, there is a $40 million renovation effort. Our schools can be fixed, and they can be maintained while they're being replaced, when they need to be replaced, and they can be upgraded and they need to be modernized. But the conditions at schools like Overbrook, that never needs to be the case. And that is something that we should see it, say it, and fix that. That should not be there. Even if we need a new school, we should not have kids and staff in buildings that look like that. They weren't like that when you went there, I think, Monica. That's what you're
saying.
That's
right.
They should, and they shouldn't. They don't need to be like that now.
Thanks, you're
Monica.
Exactly right.
Appreciate
you're
you
welcome.
Calling in. Thank you very much.
Senator, we're going to go to Brenda in Winfield. Brenda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi, Senator Hughes. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I saw you Friday at the event at the Belmont Mansion.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. It was a great event.
That's
but
right.
Anyway,
Johnson Thornton. Yep.
Yes. It was great.
Yes.
Anyway, the lady before me, she said it all, and the gentleman, he just said it all. Because my concern, I don't have no problem saying my age. Class of 65 of Overbrook High School. And
on,
I just wanted to know, what are they going to do? Because I'm hearing that it's a disgrace in there. And it makes me feel so bad because we're up to now of having our 55th class reunion next year. And
uh-huh.
We have money that we want to donate to Overbrook High School, class of 65. So what are we going to do about this problem? It's a disgrace.
Well, I think I've had conversations with Councilman Curtis Jones Jr. And State Representative Morgan Cephas. Councilman Jones is a graduate of Overbrook High School. And we've also had conversations with Dr. Height and the folks at the school district about what the plan is for Overbrook High School. It's a great school, great history, great tradition. But we need some resources over there to make it safe, make it secure, and make it a place where our kids, our children, our students who are attending there can get the best and the best of the current teachers and also the best out of that great history and that great tradition. Jerry, do you have any update on where things are with Overbrook High School?
I don't really have an update about Overbrook particularly and about many of the schools because I think it does highlight that next problem and maybe the problem that we might really leave everybody with, which is we need more information and more input and in order to be able to work together with the district, with everybody, to figure out how to spend the money that we do have. There is money. And the question would turn to what should we do to fix, to stabilize and secure Overbrook High School right now, to make it a place that is safe and healthy for the people who go there. And so I don't know, but what I do know is I can find out, and I'm happy to work with your office and others and with parents about that.
Well, we need that, and Ms. Brenda, we will make sure that, you know, you connect with the folks in my office. You know where my office is located, right there on the corner of 54th and Woodbine.
Yeah.
And make sure that you reach out to Tiffany Wilson in my office, 215-879-7777, so that we can be a vehicle to try to do what has to be done for Overbrook and also for a lot of the schools, not just in my district, but all across the city, and quite frankly, all across the state. I've traveled around Pennsylvania, and the problems that we're having in the Philadelphia schools are there's a lot of other school districts all across Pennsylvania that are broken down, not in the kind of condition that they need to be in, that deserve to have better conditions and much more work done for those schools. I was in a school building in McKees. In the Clarendon School District, and that's right outside of
from McKeesport,
where Senator Jim Brewster, that's right in Allegheny County, and that's that area of Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh. And the building superintendent there bragged about, this was in 2016, he bragged about the computer system that he was using to run his school. And this is 2016, and that computer system, he called it Windows 95.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't even make parts for Windows 95 anymore. They don't even train people how to fix Windows 95 anymore. And that's 300 and some odd miles away from Philadelphia in a community that looks very different than Philadelphia. So this is a statewide problem. The more hell folks raise, the more change we can make. All right.
Okay. I hate to see that school go because I love that school. Great people came out of that school, and we just love Overbrook. They call it the school on the school on the hill. Castle on the hill. And I just want more for our children.
And you know, Miss Brenda, Overbrook doesn't have to go. It doesn't have to go. It can be fixed. It can be fixed.
I hope so. Yeah.
There's a lot of good work.
They need air conditioning in the school. They can't think. They can't stay in school, you know.
Jerry, speak a little bit about some of the kinds of work that can be done as we finish the call with Ms. Brenda.
Fixing the interior of these buildings, brightening them up, making it safe from hazards like asbestos and lead and mold, putting in new lighting. Those things really are very doable. Doing things like upgrading electrical capacity in buildings to fully air-conditioned schools like that are more challenging, but there's a lot that can be done with that as well. And sometimes you find that those things are more cost-effective than you might think. And whatever these costs are, the relative costs, you could imagine what it would cost to build a new building. This stuff that is part of and inside of Overbrook High School and schools like that, you can't do that again.
No.
They are worth saving. If you can, they're worth saving.
Right.
Because when you turn them into the buildings that they were or that they could be, it is a game changer for the kids who go to school there and the staff that teaches there. They actually start thinking to themselves in a way that's way different than people are thinking about themselves now.
Right. Okay.
All
well, try to save our school. Thank you so much. Love you. And Senator Fincy's shoes. I'm a friend of Shani Newton's too.
So were you at her grand opening?
Oh yeah, I was there with bells on.
Very good. I stopped there for a few minutes. I couldn't stay long, but I stopped there for a few minutes. We're very proud of Shani and that determination that she has to make an impact. That's very
absolutely
good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Brenda.
All right, thank you so much. Take care.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Thank you very much, Brenda. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch.
We want
to do one more call.
Let's do this. Let's try Theola.
Okay, we'll
all right.
Theola, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi, how are y'all?
Hey, Theola.
Hi, I was listening to the lady, the teacher, say she graduated from Overbrook. I probably had kids graduate along with her. I had one daughter graduate from Overbrook in 1970.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, Overbrook was here when we moved here back in the 60s. So I sure hope y'all can save Overbrook instead of taking it down. That's a lot. Yeah.
Ms. Theola, let me just say this. You're like a lot of my constituents and a number of my people and my staff are Overbrook graduates. And I don't want anyone thinking that this is a conversation where we're talking about tearing down Overbrook. All right? Got a new principal over there. There was a reception for the new principal two or three Saturdays ago at Overbrook. And I think the conversation is more about what we can do to help Overbrook and to help all the schools in Philadelphia and across the state of Pennsylvania, and the right policies and laws that need to be put in place. What we're asking for, I think, of all of this and all of this conversation, is to get people connected and to get people involved in how they can make a difference on this issue and on the issue that we talked about earlier, which is the issue about getting common sense gun laws in Pennsylvania. So we're going to close up, Ms. Diola. Thank you so very much. Our office, for you and for all of the callers, is right there on right on the corner of 54th and Woodbine, 2401 North 54th Street, 2401 North 54th Street, 19131 is the zip code for the district office. The office phone number is 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. The point of contact in the office is Tiffany Wilson. Call her if you've got some issues. I want to thank Shira Goodman from CSPIRE PA. Shira Goodman from CSPIRE PA. All you have to do to get involved with Common Sense Gun Laws is join their organization or get connected to their organization, ceasefirepa.org, ceasefirepa.org. Thanks, Shira, so much for your involvement and your participation in the call. And I want to thank Jerry Roseman from the Healthy Schools Coalition, talking about the issue of toxic schools in our community. Jerry, again, thank you for participating. That website for the Philadelphia Healthy Schools Initiative is phsi.org, phsi.org, Philadelphia Healthy Schools Initiative. Is where you can get connected and involved and engaged in fighting the fight on for healthy schools and getting rid of the toxicity in our schools. We had a good announcement early this year with Governor Wolf, where we announced $4 million for dealing with toxicity in our schools. That piggybacked on about a $15 million announcement that we made last year of new money. What we know is that more vocal advocacy on these issues of toxic schools and on the issue of common sense gun laws gets results. There's going to be a new Cassidy School because a young student, Chelsea Mungu, talked very publicly about her problems at the Cassidy School, and the School District of Philadelphia has made a commitment to build a brand new one. We're going to meet with them next week to find out when that building is going to start, when that process is going to start, when the community engagement will start, to make sure there's community input in the new Cassidy School, but we need to do this across the state and across the city of Philadelphia. So I want to thank Shira as our guest, thank Jerry as our guest. Make sure that folks get connected, stay involved. Go to SenatorHughes.com, SenatorHughes.com. You'll be able to get connected to everything that we're doing on social media, but you'll also be able to tomorrow watch the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on common sense gun laws. You'll be able to watch that. Those start at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Just go to our website, SenatorHughes.com. Hugh, am I missing anything?
No, just a reminder, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please stay on the line. You'll be able to leave a question on a voicemail for Senator Hughes, and it's likely Tiffany will get back with you.
Exactly.
Again, Senator Hughes's district office number is 215-879-8777.
215. See, even Hugh has forgotten the call. So we'll predict. We'll say it again. 215-879-7777. How many years you been doing this with me, you? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, I'm getting a little older. I need my bifocals. Again, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, bye-bye. Jerry. Thanks, Sheer. Thanks to all the callers.
I know.